Indeed, our Savior is worthy. He is worthy of all the praise. And we're just so grateful that God has continued to bless us to sing praises unto his name and be in a comfortable environment at that. And so we are truly, truly blessed. And I thank God for all that he continues to do in the life of this church and ministry. As we continue in our series, Jesus On, I invite you to begin to mark your Bible at Luke chapter 4. We'll get there in a moment. Luke chapter 4. We'll get there in a moment. Turn in your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 4. You know, many of you are aware of the storms that slammed our area with winds of over 100 miles per hour, triggering power outages throughout our county and destruction. I mean, nearly a million people and businesses lost power. And right now, they're in recovery. They're trying to bring all the pieces together. And like the storm, in some way impacts most of us, there's a spiritual storm that we all encounter. From graduates about to graduate from high school or college to those who are in primary school, to those of you who are well past school age, we all encounter this spiritual storm. I'm talking about the tornadoes of temptation. If we get caught unprepared by the tempter, like the storm of Thursday, he's spiritually able to uproot testimonies, to wreak havoc in your life, to destroy destinies and create chaos, and even the death of opportunities and relationships. Today, we're going to learn how to triumph over temptation by looking at and learning from Jesus on temptation. Look with me at that fourth chapter. Wait, hold on. Before we go there, any of you ever been tempted before? Not even the deacons raised their hands. I'm concerned now. But the truth is, if we're honest about it, all of us have faced temptations. And all of us will face temptations. It's not if you're going to face it. It's when you're going to face it. For even Jesus, our Savior, faced temptations. That's the fourth chapter of Luke. The Bible declares, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." This is Jesus on temptation. Now, for your old school members, I'm not talking about the singing group from Motown. No, I'm talking about that which we deal with on a regular basis. Because the tempter doesn't set up an appointment to tempt you. No, he doesn't wait for you to give permission for him to tempt you. He's always seeking to tempt you. And we can't not always avoid being tempted. But by following Christ, we can resist temptations. I'm going to say that again. We can't avoid it. But by following Christ, we can resist temptation. Help me for a moment. Just turn to somebody next to you and just tell them, you can do it. Man, you sound like you couldn't do it at all. With Christ, we can overcome temptations. Temptation is an enticement to act contrary to God's will. It is a present desire to disobey. Now, let me tell you, temptation of itself is not sin. Giving into the temptation is when we sin. Surrendering to disobedient desires is sin, but we don't have to be taken in by the devil's devices. We must be aware, like Peter wrote when he said, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's why Jesus called him a thief. In John 10:10, Jesus called Satan, the devil, a thief. And he said, thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And this is what the devil seeks to do in all of our lives. Get this. If the devil has enough gall to try and tempt God in flesh, the Word of God, Jesus our Savior, don't think that you will be immune to the devil's devices. No, because the devil wants to get you to fall. In fact, God's Word tells us in 1 John 2:16 that there are tactics in which the devil uses. And I want to inform you of these as we learn from and look at how Jesus responded to these temptations. In 1 John 2:16, hear the word of God. For it said, for all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, that's one. And the desire of the eye, that's two. And the pride of life, that's three. These are three tactics in which the enemy uses to get us to fall into temptation. I'm in a text, because if you look with me, we just heard the read. The text says that Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And you've heard the temptations. He's hungry, and the tempter comes and says, listen, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. In other words, this temptation is for self-gratification. It's desire of the flesh, that you would do anything to please your flesh. Oh, and then in verses 6 and 7, he promises that if Christ would just worship him, just bow down, no one else is around, just bow down and worship him, that he would give him all the authority and all the glory. Well, that's the desire of the eye. That's the temptation for self-absorption, where your life and your goal and your objectives is all about you. And then thirdly, you saw it. Satan then tempts Christ, and he takes him to a high pinnacle, and he says, cast yourself down, throw yourself down. He's quoting Psalm 91. The devil is quoting the Bible. He's quoting the word to the word. But he's misapplying the word. And this temptation, the temptation of self-deception, the pride of life, these are the three tactics the enemy will use and to try to get us to give in to temptation. Aren't you tired of giving in to temptation? I got to talk to some real people. I heard one person on this side grunt. Can you be honest? There's some things that you wish that you can overcome. There's some things in your life you wish you wouldn't fall for over and over and over again. Isn't it time now where you're like, God, I want you to deliver me. Help me overcome temptations. Well, Jesus models it. Because the first thing we realize from what Jesus models for us is that in order to overcome temptation, if you're taking notes, write this down, we must be spiritually prepared. Somebody say spiritually prepared. We must be spiritually prepared. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 highlights it for us because right at the outset of verse 1, Doug, you see it there. It says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Returning from the Jordan, he was led by the Spirit. Notice what he models for us, that if we are going to overcome temptation, we need to surrender to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let me help you understand something. How many of you are strong in here? Three people? Four people? I got a few over here. How many of you know you're strong? Come on now. You know if somebody needs you to move something, you're moving. Some of you are in East Texas. You know, you got that in you. Some of you got that machismo about you. There's nothing you can't do. But hold on. One thing you cannot do is win against the devil by yourself. No matter how strong you think you are, you're not strong enough to go toe-to-toe with the devil. No, we need the Spirit of God to guide us that we can triumph over our temptations. You got to be spiritually prepared. You have to be full of the Holy Spirit. If you know this text, the context is such that Jesus was just baptized in the Jordan. That's chapter 3. And when he was baptized in the Jordan, God the Father declared from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am." Somebody know the Bible. "I'm well pleased." And then the text says, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and then it led him into the wilderness. Don't miss that. Because sometimes, children of God, it is God's will to lead you into some difficult places. Oh, come on now. Let me help you for a moment. All of my high school students, if you're going to matriculate in college, let me just go ahead and tell you right off the top. And Janae, I'll be checking the grades, so I just want you to know between you and me. But I'll tell you right off the top, there's going to be some courses that you will take in school and in life that are designed to stretch you. Because it's only in the stretching that you grow. Every now and then, the Lord will allow you to go through some difficult places. The wilderness is a barren place. But Jesus goes through it prepared to face the temptation of the enemy. I don't think anybody prepares to ruin their life. I don't think anybody prepares to fall into bankruptcy. I don't think anybody prepares to lose their reputation. I don't think anybody prepares to fail. But the problem is many of us don't prepare well to succeed. In order to succeed and triumph over temptation, you need the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is Pentecost Sunday. This is Pentecost Sunday where the church was gathered on one accord, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that they were gathered in prayer. The Holy Spirit descended in cloven tongues and rested upon all of them. And since then, when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and he's there to guide you. In fact, Jesus said it this way in John 14. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." It is the issue. When many of us, when we leave the church, when we leave Sundays, you go in your car and you make your way home, or you make your way to lunch. I'm not trying to get you hungry right now. I'm just saying you're going to make your way to lunch. And you'll deplete some of your reserve gasoline. In order to go somewhere, you have to use your gas. Y'all saw how much gas costs right now? Yeah, I'm with you. And many times when we leave the church, we leave spiritually full. We sing praises to God. We concentrate on the Word of God. But as you go through life, you begin to deplete the Holy Spirit's filling in your life. And if you're not careful, you'll run empty. Because we need more than a Sunday experience to stay filled with the Spirit. And Jesus is full of Spirit. How do we say filled with the Spirit? Well, look what Jesus is doing in the text. It says that he was fasting. He was praying. He was communing with the Father. And if you want to be filled by the Spirit of God, you have to put into regular practice continual prayer, continual fasting. Notice something fasting. You know what fasting is? Fasting is not dieting. Fasting is restricting yourself from something you desire so that you can desire God more. But fasting without prayer is not fasting, it's dieting. And Jesus is fasting. Text says he's fasting for 40 days. Verse 2 said, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. See, not only should we be spiritually prepared, but we should also be self-aware. You ought to be self-aware. Notice the text, verse 2. It's real subtle there. It says, Nina, Jesus was hungry. Do you see it there? He was hungry. He was aware of his condition. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Jesus was tempted and never sinned, but you and I? Well, you know, we have a history of sin. Look at your neighbor, not you, but look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Yeah, they've sinned before. Yeah, I know you're sitting next to them, but they've sinned before. In fact, the Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to overcome temptation, we have to be self-aware. We have to be honest about our own vulnerabilities. By knowing your own weakness, we can better equip and anticipate and resist temptation when it arises. All right, now I need to help our college students, soon to be college students. I need to help you for a moment. I know since you're seniors, you remember Act 1, Scene 3 of Shakespeare's Hamlet. No? David, you remember. You remember. That's Jersey Village High School right there. See, I should have said Janae over there, but anyway. Act 1, Scene 2, Shakespeare's Hamlet. The king's chief minister, Polonius, is giving his son advice before he prepares to go to the university. Polonius is giving his son, Laterius, advice before he prepares to go to the university. And in his speech to his son, he says many of the Shakespearean quotes that some of you know. He says, give every man thy ear, but few thy voice. Another quote, neither a borrower nor a lender be. But here it is. Are y'all listening? That's the question. Are you listening? Yeah. I'm going to ask them right here. Are you listening? Yeah. Are you listening? Uh-huh. Are you listening? Mm-hmm. To sum all the quotes, here it is. God, when you go to college, I want you to be able to say you know some Shakespeare. Here it is. To thy own self. Look at that. You didn't even know you knew Shakespeare, huh? To thy own self be true. Being true is recognizing that you are not as strong as you think you are. I got one amen, but I'm just go ahead and use me. You know, they said confession is bad for the soul, but it's good for reputation. Listen, y'all, I have a weakness. Actually, I have weaknesses, but don't look at me like that because I'm not about myself. You got weaknesses too. And this is not an advertisement at all. This is not an advertisement. But I don't know if you can see this or not. But you see this right here? This is not a commercial, okay? But these are Mentos. And if you know me well, you know that I got a weakness for Mentos. Let me tell you how my weakness works. I tell myself that I'm only going to eat just one. But then I tell myself I'm going to get one more. Then I'm going to tell myself I'm going to get just one more. And you know what happens? Nisha, we're the only one who gets this, right? I realize that I eat all of them, and I can't stop until they're all gone. I know myself. And those close to me know me too, because I got a good friend of mine that when she gives me a mentor, she said, I expect that back. Will, you know what I'm talking about there, right? I got you, yeah, yeah. Listen, I want you to get this. It is so important for us to know ourselves, because Satan will play on self-deception, making you think that you are stronger to handle certain weaknesses that you have, that you're stronger than you really are. That's why in Luke 9, Jesus tells us that if anyone will come after him, that we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. Because there's some flesh on the inside of us that is on life support, that if you don't watch it, it'll resurrect and come back up. You know what I'm talking about. There's some parts of you that want to do. Listen, if you didn't want to do it, it wouldn't be a temptation in the first place. So we have to willingly, continually crucify our flesh. Jesus illustrates this way in Matthew 5. He said, well, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. For it's better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown in hell. Verse 30 says, and if your right arm causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body go to hell. Listen, Jesus is not saying for you to be an amputee or a one-eyed pirate. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that if there's anything you identify in your life that is a stumbling block in your life, that you put up all you can to be aware of it so you don't just idly walk into it. Listen, if you know that donuts are a weakness for you, then don't go to the, it messed me up this morning, because right there in the sound booth, you can see it right there, they got a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. And I'm like, man, I'm talking about temptation today, and they're going to just have that right there. Just like the Mentos, man. I'm just trying to help you understand. You got to pray for it, brother. Got to pray for it, brother. But the reality is there are even greater weaknesses out there. And if you know that you have a weakness and you know where your weakness is, then it's incumbent upon you to be mindful that you won't just fall idly into the devil's schemes. All right? So we must be spiritually prepared. We must become self-aware. And thirdly, we must abide within biblical limits. Look at verse 3. That's something you'll see at every response. When the devil comes to Jesus, there is something consistent about Jesus' response. Look at verse 3. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written. I like the way Matthew said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Look at verse 8. Jesus answered, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. Look at verse 12. When the devil comes with another temptation, Jesus says, it is said, you shall not put the God, Lord your God to the test. Look at the text. Jesus says over and over again, it is written. Now I don't like to pick on our young people. So I'm going to pick on some old people. Because some of us, if we're honest about it, if a certain song comes on, you know all the lyrics, the first verse, the second verse, and the third verse. I'm not talking about with the praise team song. If a certain artist comes on, listen, okay, Shannon, listen, I need you to protect me, all right? You agree to protect me? All right, here it is. Look, so I'm riding through. I think my family's sleeping. So we're making our way back to the city. And you know, I was getting a little tired. So when I get tired, I put on some slow jams. No, don't worry about it. Y'all know nothing about that. I put on some music. Yeah, put on some music. And I caught myself, and Kiana can attest to it, I caught myself, Anthony, bro, I was singing songs that I hadn't sung since I was 17. And to my amazement, I knew every single lyric of every song of the album. Oh, you're not with me just yet here. I was so in it that I knew when to flip the tape to side two. I know y'all know nothing what I'm talking about. But isn't it like that? We know all the top name artists and we know all the songs, but how many of us know the book of Hezekiah? How many of us know Hezekiah 1 and 3? How many of us know there's no book of Hezekiah? Ah, yeah, yeah. The point is, y'all, as much as we give our attention to so many other things that can't help us overcome temptation, we should give our attention to the Word of God. We should abide in the Word of God. Let the Word of God be like guardrails to your life. I know it doesn't feel natural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. So when others come and try to convince you to lean into temptation, you lean into the life that God wants you to live. Because here's the deal. We can't say it is written if we never read what was written. Okay, I'm done fussing. But look what Jesus says. John 8, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look what he says now. If you abide, you will be set free. You'll be able to overcome temptation when you abide by the word of God. John 14, 21. Whoever has my commandments, Jesus says, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Listen, commit your life to the Word of God so you can learn the will of God, influenced by the Spirit of God, so you can live your life to the glory of God. Commit your life to the Word of God. You know why? Because the Word still works. The Word of God still works. It can transform your life. But not only should you have biblical guardrails, I'll close with this. It's interesting that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all write an account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke were not with Jesus in the wilderness, which means Jesus had to share his struggle with trusted friends. This is the reason why God brings us together as a church. This is the reason why God encourages us to build fellowship with one another, because you ought to have godly, trusted friends who can pray for you and sometimes even rescue you when you find yourself going through a spiritual struggle. And the way you find that is amongst the body of believers. So that's why you should be a part of the church. That's why you should be a part of a life group. That's why you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, because when you do, he gives you the resources to overcome whatever temptation you may be facing. Because God wants you to glorify him. So I just want to encourage you, in order to overcome temptation, be spiritually prepared. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Become self-aware. Have an awareness of your own vulnerabilities. And take the Word of God and the people of God, that it can help you have guardrails against your weaknesses, so that you will know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Would you bow your heads all over the building?
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.